All right. Well, praise the Lord. Good to be here tonight. Yeah, I'm glad to see y'all here and those of us online. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, "Come, Now's the Time to Worship." Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are. As you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess. Yes, you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, come, come. Amen. To come on to worship. Yep, that's right. It's a good command of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. Thank you. amazing grace, and how sweet the sound, amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As grace flows down and covers me, it covers me. 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 Walking in sunlight, all of my journey over the mountains, through the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and God. He is the light, in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I know I heard a couple of good pick of hymns this evening. Footsteps of Jesus, I think, was one of them. What page number was that on? 685. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountain seeking his sheep, or alone by Siloam's fountains helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. If they lead through the temple holy preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Then at last when on high he sees us our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know there was one more that we heard and opened up. Which one was that? 151, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabbath is his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And through this world with devils filled, should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumphantly through us. Sorry. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, and lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. This song is challenging. I apologize. the word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. It's a good song, though. Amen. One more? Or we good? Or one? Any? Well, you got one. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay. That's cool. Yeah. Oh, going once, going twice. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Trying to think. There was a Christian cartoon that was the theme song of. Cannot remember. Davy? Was it Davy? David? I can't remember the name of the cartoon, but boy, it was a claymation cartoon. Used to watch it when I was a little kid. I have to look it up on Google and report back next week. Amen. can't remember the name. Y'all remember the name? No, remember the cartoon? Oh. Oh, yeah. Mm-mm. Amen. Do we have any praises tonight? You had a haul. How many did you have? 75? Amen. Yeah, how many students you got? 55, and you got two sets of grandparents for each kid, sometimes more. Well, I mean, you know, marriage and divorce and steps and this and that and just life. Life happens. Right? All right. So Grandparents' Day. Grandparents' Day, big day. But they did not eat all the donuts. No, there were. Because I came over and snuck one out. Grandparents' Day, big day. Amen. Did you have coffee? And OJ. Okay. All right, very good. Grandparents' Day, big day. That's a good praise. All right, what else? Other praises? Chick-fil-A night. Yeah. Got the Spirit. Had the Holy Spirit since I was saved. Amen. I'm Spirit. Chick-fil-A night. Amen. All right. How big was that crowd? Because they're coming and going. Yeah. You don't quite know. Big night. All right. I'll check it out. Amen. Big night. What else? Other praises. Amen. We're here. Oh, man. This morning felt good. Did it not feel so good? Oh, my soul. I'm telling you, man, the dew, when that dew hits your feet, it feels better, too, when it's all cool and wet, not just wet. Got some cool to it. All right. Yeah, weather. And we may get some rain this weekend, so that's a good plus. Yeah, we need more rain, so we'll pray for that. Weather coming, better weather. Yes. All right, anything else on the praises? All right, let's do the prayer requests. We've got, let's see here, Ernie Bishop's family. Ernie passed away about a year ago, and he's got some family members that are still struggling with the grief of his passing. So we want to pray for his son, Sam, and then pray for Sam's nephew, which is a grandson, Sammy. So Sam and Sammy, but Sammy is not Sam's son. Sammy is Sam's nephew. Got it? Yeah. Amen? All right, we want to pray for them too. And then I got a call from Barbara McNew yesterday. She's still having some issues, health issues with balance and everything and dehydration and all those things. She's trying to stay caught up with that, but continue to pray for her. Ronnie Holman with his cancer treatment. Traveling Mercies for Miss Coons. All right? Yeah. Is that the one you had? No, you got a different one. All right. And then pray that our railroad workers across the land, the engineers particularly for Union Pacific. The engineer don't come to work, the train don't move. So you can have all the conductors you want, but You ain't got an engineer that's certified, licensed, and stamped to move that train. It sits. So pray that these folks can, well, you said Pete Buttigieg is going to have to earn his money. And Pete comes to the plate and they work it all out, man. If they don't, yeah, everything's going up. Everything's going up, all right? Gas go back up. Well, you say, well, they won't be using as much gas. That is true, but they won't be moving as much product to make gas. You got to have the product, chemicals. That all comes by train. All right, very good. So we'll pray for that, and then we've got our shut-ins to lift up. Okay, those of you with us online, good to have you with us tonight. Our shut-ins, those of you with unspokens, amen, unspokens. And then, Brother Jeremiah, you've got one back there. What you got, sir?
Praise-prayer combo.
Okay.
A while ago, don't remember when, we prayed for one of Lori's coworkers that was pregnant.
Okay.
Well, she had her baby, so that's a praise. And then the prayer is that they would get married.
Okay.
Yeah.
Co-worker had the baby. Baby was healthy. All right. And then prayer request. Parents would marry. Amen. All right. Any other prayer needs? Amen. Pray for our country. Ukraine. Pray for Miss Terry. Terry Kimball, still in Ukraine. 2 more weeks. Amen. Sowing seeds of the gospel. Praise the Lord for that. How about those Ukrainians? Huh? I don't know, man, but that map is looking better. Yeah. So, my goodness alive. Keep praying for the Ukrainians. Maybe they'll get the sovereignty of their land back. What else? Anything else? Yes, sir. Right? Highest it's been in 40 years. Yep. Yes, sir. That's exactly right. Yep. It'll be Jimmy Carter days. Remember those? Jimmy Carter days. Don't want no more of that. Yeah, don't want no more of that. All right. Anything else before we pray? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. We thank you for your love and forgiveness to us. Lord, we're thankful for all you've done for us and what you're doing right now, Lord, and the promises and the blessings that you have for us in the future. We just praise you and thank you for being our God, for being a mighty God, for being a loving God, for being a caring God, Lord. Just thank you for everything. We praise you for all of it, how you bless us and take care of us, Lord. We just love you tonight. Most of all, we're thankful for our salvation. We're thankful that we have a place that you are preparing for us to spend an eternity with you one day, and we just we look forward to that. We praise you and thank you for that opportunity. Lord, as we come to you tonight, we lift these praises up to you. We're thankful for, Lord, what's going on next door at the Christian school with the huge turnout for Grandparents' Day, Lord. What a blessing that was. And Lord, it's a great way for the grandparents to get invested and see what's going on with their grandkids, Lord, and just get tied into the school and be a positive influence for the school and their grandkids' lives. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful for Chick-fil-A night and the testimony that our students and students' parents were at the Chick-fil-A, breaking bread with one another and picking up food in the drive-thru. Thank you for all that, Lord, and the fundraising that goes along with it. We're thankful for that. Lord, we're thankful for the change of seasons, and we're thankful, Lord, for this Chamber of Commerce weather that's coming here in another four weeks. It's going to be just really, really nice around here, so we just praise you for that. Lord, we continue to pray for rain. Thank you for the rain that you've given us. But Lord, some parts of the state, and we could even use some more here. So Lord, we just pray the showers of blessing again would fall upon the ground and just take care of the deficit, catch us back up. And Lord, we pray that by the end of the year that we wouldn't be in the hole, but that we would be even or over when it comes to precipitation falling around here. So we lift that up to you. We praise you for Lori's co-worker and her healthy baby, Lord, that she brought into the world, that you blessed her with, her and the father with, Lord. And we just pray that that little baby would grow in the fear and the admonition of you. And Lord, we pray that the parents would get married, that they would come together as husband and wife and make a home for that little baby. So Lord, we lift that situation up to you. We lift up Ernie Bishop's family to you tonight, Lord, and we pray for his son Sam, and we pray for Sam's nephew Sammy. And Lord, we just pray you might comfort them and help them. Cecilia, Sam's sister, Lord, we just pray that you would comfort them and help them in the loss of Ernie. See them through, Lord. Give them the grace that they need to walk through the valley of the grief. And Lord, we just pray that you bring them through it. Lord, we know they never get over it, but Lord, just help them go through it. And so, Lord, we lift that situation up to you. We continue to pray for Barbara McNew. And Lord, we're praying for her health, and we're praying for her doctors, and we're praying for those neighbors that are next to her and across the hall from her. Lord, we just pray that they would just be vigilant and check on Barbara. And Lord, if Barbara needs further help, that she is able to get to the hospital, get to the doctor, and all those issues. We continue to pray for Ronnie Holman, and we pray for his cancer and the removal of that. We pray you might heal him, God. We're thankful for the treatments that he's had. We pray that there might be some answers and some more treatments to get rid of all the cancer and get him cancer-free. So, Lord, we continue to pray for Ronnie Holman tonight. Pray for Nancy as she cares for him. Just watch over them, Lord, and help them as they go through this together. And then, Lord, we pray for traveling mercies for Miss Coons and Sharon and perhaps even Bobby as they are somewhere, not here. But I knew they were traveling, Lord, so we're just praying for their safe return. Watch over them, help them, keep them safe as they do what they're doing and bring them home in one piece. And then, Lord, we pray for the railroad workers across this country, those that are threatening a strike. We pray that management would come to the table with a legitimate offer and concessions, Lord, and there would be some kind of compromise found, and everybody maybe not as happy with everything, but there's enough happiness to get a new contract together. And Lord, there not be a railroad worker strike. Father God, we pray that we would avert that strike. Cooler heads would prevail. There would be some concessions given to these folks that are needing whatever they're needing, Lord. Normally benefits or time off or something. Lord, we pray that they would get what they need and get what they got to have to keep doing what they're doing. So, Lord, we pray that you bring both parties together and there would be some kind of compromise in that situation. We lift up our shut-ins to you tonight. We pray that as they are participating with us online, that they would be blessed, they would feel fed, encouraged, and know that their church family loves them and misses them, Lord. So we lift up our shut-ins to you. Those that had unspoken, Lord, we thank you that we can bring these burdens to you each and every time we gather for prayer. Thank you for hearing us, Lord, as we voice these things up to you silently. And Father God, when we don't know how to pray, we know you know how to pray. So we lay these things at your feet, and sometimes we just have to turn them over. But Lord, we pray that as we do that, you give us the peace that passes all understanding. You give us the encouragement to exercise our faith in you, that you are the sovereign God and you'll work these things out in your own time. And so, Lord, we just rest in that fact that you are in control. We continue to pray for our country. Lord, we pray for the abortion issue that is being politicized. We pray for the upcoming elections in November. Father God, we pray that there are more Christians elected than defeated, Lord. We pray that there would be an influx of Christians in the different state houses, governorships, Senate races, House races, whatever it may be, God. We pray that you put your people where you want them. And, Lord, we pray that they would bring about positive change, protecting freedoms in this country and protecting the right to preach the gospel and to further the truth. So, Lord, we're praying for a big sweep, something huge coming November, Lord. So we lay that before you, and we pray that Christian folk would vote a Christian conscience, and, Lord, they would look at a platform, they would figure out what's going on with that platform, and, Lord, they would vote a Christian conscience as they go to the polls. So, Lord, we continue to pray for Ukraine. Thank you for their gains as they take back some of their land. We pray you protect their lives, protect their military. Lord, help them drive out the aggressor. And, Lord, we're thankful that we're seeing Russian troops retreat and go back towards Russia. And, Lord, we pray that that would just continue and that this war and the death and the mayhem of it and the world tragedy would come to an end. Father God, we pray you would heal that land, you would put that land back together, and we're thankful for the Christians that are there, Lord, Samaritan's Purse, Miss Terry, we're thankful for them, we're praying for their protection, and we're praying in the midst of all that, Lord, you would allow them to be a great witness, a great light, a great testimony of what Christ can do in a life, and Lord, I pray that you would just help that whole situation and take care of it. Thank you for Miss Terry, thank you for her service over there. We pray that you continue to use her as a witness. Protect her, Lord. Watch over her with the rest of that Samaritan's Purse team. Lord, we pray for those that are struggling with the inflation. And, Lord, we pray that somehow, some way, that this inflationary track that we're on would begin to balance out and will begin to go back down, representing the fuel prices going back down, Lord. We pray that people would not be operating in a sense of fear, keeping prices high, or in a sense of greed, just trying to steal from the public. Lord, we pray that people would really think about the bigger picture and that a lot of people out there are struggling. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help that situation and bring that situation under control. We praise you, Lord, for your word tonight. Thank you that we can be back in Leviticus and talk about holiness and try to get a handle on that these next couple of Bible studies. We praise you and we love you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, well, we'll stand and read Leviticus chapter 1, and I guess we'll take it through verse 3. Leviticus 1:1, and we'll take it through verse 3. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Those of you with us online, Leviticus chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. And we're just kind of introducing this. We're really not going to be getting into this, but we want to start to be familiar with this first chapter, so we'll go ahead and read these first three verses. If you found that tonight, would you say amen? All right, the Word of God reads, "Then the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel, say to them, when any man of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of animals from the herd or the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer it a male without defect. He shall offer it at the doorway of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord.'" Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, as we begin, we're still introducing the book, and in thinking about this subject of holiness that we ended on last time, I thought, you know, we really need to be honed up. We really need to be sharpened up. We really need to be, because, you know, a lot of times we throw a term around. We throw a theological term around. And that might mean something to you and something else to you. And over here, something else to you and something else to me. So we need to try to all kind of get on the same page scripturally, right? I mean, we all got an opinion about stuff. But scripturally, we need to kind of be on the same page about what holiness is. So as we begin, I ask you this question for consideration. This question you just think about, and maybe as we go through what we're going through tonight, you can answer the question when you get to the end, or when I get to the end. You can answer the question, okay? The question is this. Let me get a little sip here. All right, the water's good and wet. What is the most important thing in the world? What is the most important thing in the world? That's for you to think about. Now, I thought to myself in preparation, for this Wednesday night Bible study, that if we cannot take some time, if we cannot take this Bible study and perhaps Sunday night's Bible study and even maybe next Wednesday's Bible study to discuss holiness in the Bible, then how will we ever be holy like the Lord commands? Because when you get in the book of Leviticus, it's a book about holiness. And so to really get the flavor out of the book, you need to have a good, strong handle, two-handed handle, big old bear hug on this concept of holiness. Amen? Make sense? Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Now, it says perfecting holiness. Holiness is a process. Now, the Wesleyans, they think you can get there before you die. Pastor Lee, I don't think you get there before you die. I think you can try to be holy. I think you can make gains in holiness. But if you're not careful when you make gains in holiness, pride will sneak in, and it's like you've taken one step and two steps back. So it's a very... Have you ever been to a county fair or maybe it was a church picnic and they brought out the greased pig and they got all the kids to line up across? Y'all ever do... anybody ever chase grease? Am I the only one? Have you chased a greased pig? I've chased a greased pig or two in my life, right? And I mean, they take that poor little pig, that poor little pig scared to death. They take, literally a jar of Vaseline. And they lube that little pig up, right? And they get that little pig and they say, go, right? And I mean, you're you're running and diving and getting skin up in the arms and people walking all over you and you're trying to get that pig. And as soon as you think you got him, boom, he's gone. He's gone. That pig's gone, amen? Holiness is kind of like that, amen? You think you got it, and then boom, you've opened your mouth, you've thought about something, you've done something, and where'd the holiness go, right? So I'm telling you, it's a process. It's a process, amen? Now, happiness, not holiness, happiness, not holiness, is the chief pursuit of most people today. Would you agree? Amen? Happiness, not holiness, including many professed Christians. They would rather be happy than holy. Rather be happy than holy. Now, I've always, and Aubrey, bless her heart, when she was in elementary school, when I was pastoring at Calvary in Pearland, we had this ongoing debate with one of her elementary teachers. She was wanting to sing a song for the talent show. And I want to say she was second, third grade, something like that. I mean, she was young, you know, innocent, just young and innocent. And the song was kind of an adult song. But you know how these kids are. They hear a song on the radio or they see it on the online or the video. TikTok wasn't a big thing back then, but they see it online. And they don't even halfway understand what they're singing about. But boy, I sure did. And I said, Aubrey, why, you know, there's some Christian songs you can sing for the talent show. Why don't you consider singing one of those? Well, she told her teacher, and her teacher contacted me, and she said, Mr. Lee, don't you want your little girl to be happy? And I can't remember her name, but I said, no, ma'am. And she kind of took a pause back. I said, I really want her to be holy. And she was kind of like, she looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I don't think she sang that year in the talent contest. I think it was too much of an issue tissue. But that was years ago. 15? No, maybe not 15. Well, maybe 15. Been a long time ago, right? Happiness, not holiness. They want, and this is what I find with most folks, maybe not in this church, but most folks in the Christian realm. They want Jesus to solve their problems and carry their burdens, but they do not want him to control their lives and change their character. Is that fair? Amen? That's an old me. It's really hard saying amen on that, but that's where we're at. They're not confronted with the truth. They're not confronted with the truth because the weak preaching they allow themselves to be exposed to, if hearing preaching at all, does not disturb them. Does not disturb them. In fact, if they get disturbed, they're probably not coming back. If they get disturbed, they're going to find another place where they can get Catholic-ed and calm down and told they're okay, right? And so that is the battle that rages within Western Christianity. This funeral that I'm doing for this gentleman on Friday at 10:30 at Magnolia Funeral Home, Bill Newman. I was talking to his son yesterday, just trying to make an initial contact with him. And he was telling me, you know, that him and his mom had raised him and his brother, Independent Baptist. And they had moved from, I don't know where they had moved from, I think Tennessee. And they had a great Independent Baptist church in Tennessee. Moved to Conroe. Never could find an Independent Baptist church in Conroe that they felt comfortable in. Now, he told me, Dad and Mom, they study the Bible daily. You'd come over, you'd find them at the dining room table going over the Scripture. They were tied into that Foxmoor. What's that lady's name, Foxmoor? Lady that drives a van, Foxmoor, cuts the dog hair. Terry Boyd, Pensacola Bible Institute. Tied into Pensacola Bible Institute that Terry sent, one of her daughters to? Corey, graduated from Pensacola Bible. So that's kind of the group they were tied into. That's who they tithed to. That's who they prayed for. I mean, they were just kind of, you know, getting it on TV, getting it online, but never could find a church. He said, you know why? He goes, because Independent Baptist churches will tell you what's wrong with you, right? And they couldn't find a church like that up here in Conroe. Now, I don't know Conroe. I mean, so he's talking to me, and I'm like, well, I don't preach out of King James Version, but I don't mind just clearing off a spot and getting after it. Amen. I may not be independent, but I can try to preach. Amen, right? So anyway, good conversation. But what I'm talking about is that tug between happiness and what, church? Holiness, right? Not once or twice or maybe five times, but eight times in the Bible, God said to his people, be holy, for I am holy, right? And when he says that, we've got to believe that he means it, right? When God says it that many times, we've got to believe that he means it. He that says the beauty of holiness or true moral good, wrote Jonathan Edwards, sees the greatest and most important thing in the world. I asked you the question earlier, didn't I? What is the most important thing in the world? Jonathan Edwards, he that sees the beauty of holiness or true moral good, wrote Jonathan Edwards, sees the greatest and most important thing in the world. Have you ever thought of personal holiness, likeness to Jesus Christ, as the most important thing in the world? You don't have to answer that, just think about it. But have you ever thought of personal holiness, likeness to Jesus Christ? When we say personal holiness, we're talking about likeness to Jesus Christ as the most important thing in the world. In God's kingdom, holiness is not a luxury. In God's kingdom, holiness is a necessity. Does that make sense? Yes, amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. So the immature Christian may ask with the lost person, does God want his children to be happy? Does he want his children to be happy? And the short answer to that is yes. God wants us, he wants his children to be happy. But true happiness, God would say, true happiness the Holy Spirit would move you towards, true happiness the Bible would push you towards, true happiness begins with, you know what? Holiness. Anybody? Yeah? Amen? With holiness. Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's kind of another way of saying holiness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So if I had my choice of all the blessings I can conceive of, said Charles Spurgeon, if I had the choice of all the blessings I can conceive of, said Charles Spurgeon, I would choose perfect conformity to the Lord Jesus. Perfect conformity to the Lord Jesus, or in one word, Spurgeon said, holiness, right? So, would you make that same choice? Would you make that same choice? Leviticus tells the New Testament Christians how to appreciate holiness and appropriate holiness into their everyday lives. Amen, amen? Yes, yes, yes? Still got time. All right. Now, the armchair theologian, and there are many, and I've met a lot of them through the years, and I wish them no harm. Praise the Lord, they're trying. But the armchair theologian may ask, is the book of Leviticus really written for New Testament believers? They may surmise, saying, I thought the book was written to the priests and Levites in ancient Israel. But for us, the lesson in Leviticus, or the lessons in Leviticus, are not limited to the Jews in ancient Israel. For us, man, the spiritual principles in this book apply to Christians in the church age today. Now, there are five times in Leviticus that God's holiness is referenced and the application is made that His people need to be holy as well. These five statements are applied certainly to the church. And we see it come out. We talked about how Leviticus is a seedbed for New Testament theology. We see that New Testament theology sown from Leviticus into the different places in the New Testament. One of them is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But like the Holy One, who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, as we gave some examples on Sunday night, the book of Leviticus is quoted or referenced in the New Testament over 100 times. There's a lot of Leviticus sown throughout the New Testament. And since all Scripture was given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, then all Scripture is profitable for God's people to use in developing godly lives. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said that in response to the devil's temptation, that we should what? We should live by every word that God has given us, and that includes the book of Leviticus. So the book of Leviticus, as we kind of transition on down the road tonight, the book of Leviticus explains five basic themes that relate to the life of holiness. Five basic themes. And that's what we're going to attempt to try to cover over tonight, Sunday night, and perhaps even into next Wednesday. The first theme that the book of Leviticus relates to the life of holiness is the fact that we have a holy God. Amen? We have a holy God. Theologians have argued for millennia, what is the main emphasis of Scripture? Is it God's love or is it God's holiness? Is it God's love? Is it God's holiness? That's been the debate. God's love, God's holiness. God's justice, God's love, right? God's righteousness, God's love. God's wrath, God's love. It's all kind of the same thing. Amen? Two sides to God, all kind of the same thing. American theologian Augustus H. Strong has said, love is central in God, but holiness is central in love. That's how it can. You've seen Strong's Concordance? That's who we're talking about here, right? Now, God's love is a holy love, for the Bible states that God is light, 1 John chapter 1, 5, as well as God is love, per 1 John chapter 4, 8 and 1 John 4, 16. So love without holiness would be a monstrous thing that could destroy God's perfect law, while holiness without love would leave no hope for the lost sinner. Make sense? Yes, yes? Amen, amen? So both are perfectly balanced. Both are perfectly balanced in the divine nature and the works of God. And I would say both are perfectly balanced in the person of Christ. Amen? He came the first time to save sinners, right? And to give His life and shed His blood on Calvary's cross to make a way for sinners. You can't love any more than that. Amen? You can't love any more than that. That's what He did. When He comes back a second time, it's going to be about holiness. It's going to be about justice. It's going to be about righteousness. It's going to be about, oh, whoa, wait a minute. You didn't take the free gift? You didn't obey the gospel? What? It's going to be that side. Make sense? Amen, amen? God's holiness is not simply the absence of defilement, which is a negative thing. Rather, the holiness of God is positive and active. You can think of God's holiness as God's perfect nature at work in accomplishing God's perfect will. The Hebrew word for holy that Moses used in Leviticus means that which is set apart, that which is marked off, that which is different. Amen? So when we think about a holy God, the Sabbath was holy. The Sabbath was holy because God set it apart for His people, Exodus chapter 16, verse 23. The priests were holy because they were set apart to minister to the Lord, per Leviticus 21, 7 and 8. Their garments, the priests' garments, were holy and could not be duplicated for common use, per Exodus 28, 2. You're only going to use them here in the tabernacle or the temple. The tithe that the people brought was holy, per Leviticus 27, 30. Anything that God said was holy had to be treated differently from the common things of life in the Hebrew camp. In fact, the camp of Israel was holy because the Lord dwelt there with His people, per Deuteronomy 23, 14. You get the point? Now, our English word holy comes from the old English word hallig, which comes from the Greek word hagios, right? So it kind of steps through in etymology. But it literally means what sozo means. Well, what's sozo? Sozo is salvation. Sozo in the Greek, salvation. Well, what do these two words mean, preacher? They mean to be whole, to be whole, to be healthy. Right? One day, one bright morning, one day over the river, one day in another time, or when time is no more, you'll have a glorified body, and you'll be what? Whole. You'll be healthy. What do you mean healthy? Death will never touch that thing again. Right? That's the point. Amen? Whole to be healthy. That's what salvation is. What is a lost person missing? Well, they're missing the regenerative spirit. The Holy Spirit has not regenerated their spirit. So they are only a soul and a body. That's all they are. They're a soul and a body. But when they are saved, what comes to life? The spirit. They're born again. Amen? Their soul's not born again. The body's not born again. Their spirit comes to life. Well, how does their spirit come? Well, the Holy Spirit's entered their heart, entered their life, entered their person, is at the very center of who they are. Well, do you feel that when that happens? Some people do. Some people, it's just a realization, right? And then they grow in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And as they grow in the Word, as they grow in their faith, they begin to feel it then, that there's something different in them, that there's something growing in them, that there's something set apart in them. It's their spirit. It's the Holy Spirit with them. Amen? Yes, yes? Moving on here. Now, what health is to the body, holiness is to the inner person. The related word that goes with holiness, goes with righteousness, the related word is sanctify, sanctification. It comes from the Latin sanctus, which means consecrated, which means sacred, which means blameless, right? We use the word sanctification to describe the process of growing to become more like Christ and thus holy, to describe the result of that process. So, as we close it out this evening, how does God reveal His holiness? It's a beautiful thing how God does that. how he reveals his holiness. The religion of the nations in Canaan was notoriously immoral, the Canaanites, notoriously immoral. It involved worshiping idols. It involved consorting with temple prostitutes, both male and female temple prostitutes. For this reason, God commanded his people to stay away from their altars and shrines and to refuse to learn their ways. Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 through 33, and Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 11. In many ways, God has made it clear to his people that he was a holy God. To begin with, he gave them a holy law that contained both promises and penalties, of which the Ten Commandments are the essence of, per Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. God's statutes and ordinances governed the daily life of the people and told them what was right and wrong, right? What was clean and unclean, and what the penalties were for those who deliberately disobeyed. At Sinai, God revealed his holy presence. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 says, "All the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance." Now, I'm praying that God would reveal his holiness in the upcoming November elections. That's what I'm praying. I heard on the news just today, a news reporter was talking to Beto O'Rourke, and he was talking to him about his views, what he thinks about abortion. And this guy was really trying to milk him, really trying to get him to commit, right, what he thought about abortion. And he went back to Roe v. Wade. He took the easy liberal left course. He talked about Roe v. Wade. He talked about all the precedents in Texas in 1973 and how it's been the law of the land for almost 50 years. And I thought to myself, man, praise the Lord for old Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, who puts a shot across the bow, right? And says, how about a national abortion ban? Now, he knows, he's been a senator a long time, you know, dum-dum, right? He knows that's got no chance passing in the House, and it's got no chance getting to the Senate for debate and a vote. But you know what it was? It was a battle cry for the Christians in the land to waketh thee up, right? They want to make this a political issue. Then Christians, vote your conscience and make it a political issue. Amen? And so wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? The liberals have pulled, am I the only one that's ever ridden a bus? Y'all ever ridden a bus, right? Have you ever stopped a bus by pulling the handle? You stopped a bus, right? The little handle. Mom, what is that? Honey, that's the brake. Oh, what do you mean that's the brake? Well, when you want to get off, you pull that. Well, do we pull that? No, we don't pull that. Then we're going to a certain stop. You know, she turns around, she's walking around. I climb up on the seat. What do I do? Right? Amen? Got in trouble for that a long time ago. I had a buzz. I had hair back then. Buzz cut. Bright blue eyes. I looked like a kid. I was a kid. They pulled that handle, trying to energize their base. Well, let's energize our base. Amen. And what energizes our base? Prayer. Amen. Talking to our Christian friends, right? Thinking, hey, let's vote a Christian conscience. Amen, amen. In voting. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Yeah, vote. Vote, vote. Mail it in. Go early. Go on the day. Just vote. Right? Get two stickers. Amen, amen. Let's pray it out. Y'all want to quit? Let's pray it out. We'll be dismissed. We'll get together on Sunday night. Creek don't rise. Let's do it. Dear Jesus, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how you reveal your holiness, Lord, and you have certainly revealed it through the ages and through the eons. And, Lord, we're praying for a revelation of your holiness not just in Ukraine, but here in these United States of America. Lord, we pray that you would send a message to the people of this country that you love innocence and you love the unborn, and they are your creation, and we should respect their rights and give them an opportunity. So, Lord, may this country find its spiritual backbone and vote a Christian conscience. And Lord, may you do a work. And come the middle of November, may we be rejoicing on what we have seen. We praise you and we love you, Lord. Give us safety as we depart this place tonight. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. See you online, folks. We'll see you Sunday.